All right, good afternoon. I'll call to order this Board of Canvassers session and turn it over to Auditor Lucy Martin.
Good afternoon. First order of business is we have two races that were tied, and you will draw lots to determine the winner. And after that is done, then we can actually finalize the abstract of votes and the resolution that you will vote on today. So, and while that's being done, I'll provide some fun facts about this election.
Perfect. So let's have Loris draw the first lot, and let's have Marty draw the second.
Okay, the first lot is for Indian Creek Township Clerk.
Deborah Moreland.
Okay, Deborah Moreland is chosen. Indian Creek Township Clerk. The second race is for Nevada Township Clerk. And these are races where there was no filed candidate. And all of the people got one vote apiece. So
an old landslide victory. Double. They got one vote and their names are drawn out of the bucket.
Amber Nussbaum.
Amber Nussbaum, okay.
And you've checked with all these people they would be willing to serve?
I have not. I checked that they are qualified to serve, and then I have my packet that I send them, a letter explaining the duties, that they are not obligated to accept the office, and then it's basically, will you go out with me, yes or no, check this box, mail it back to me.
Do you pass it from desk to desk?
But that's, I ask them to reply, and I send them an addressed stamped envelope, and I have them reply by December 7th, so we should know by then. Okay, so while we're working on updating our paperwork, if I can make some remarks. First of all, I'd like to thank my staff who worked their hearts out, all of them, especially Kevin Norris, my elections deputy, really all my people, but special remarks for Kevin. The technicians and temporary workers, temps are still here because we have 21 days to process all of our election day registrations. Our absentee board and our election officials, which there were close to 300 for this election. So I would also like to thank you, the board, for your unstinting report, the support for me, and always supporting my budget and listening to my concerns. I think it was very helpful that you agreed to raise the salaries for our temps and technicians. That really, I really saw a difference in both the pool we had, the size, and the quality. And we're going to need that going forward as well. So I do have a small token for each of you.
We get to be...
Because you are
elected officials.
You get your election official pen.
Perfect.
Thank you.
Love the swag.
You know, put it in your collection.
I have a collection.
They're collector's items. You know, 100 years from now, maybe it'll be worth like $3. You never know.
You don't know.
Of course, $3 won't be worth anything then.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, plenty of value about that.
I would also really like to thank all the offices in the administration building for supporting us through the busy time. I know they got a lot of random questions, and we try to post signage as we can, but... And also, your staff, I don't know if you know this, but Deb Schildroth is just a crackerjack election official. Darla was very helpful. We got so much mail over the election season. She was always calling us and telling us when it was there. Alyssa took some things off my plate during the audit. That was very helpful. So you have great people working for you as well. Information technology and the sheriff are also very helpful in supporting us. I would like to give special thanks to Joby and facilities.
Wow, they're awesome.
They went above and beyond. We used county spaces in a way we haven't before, and that was some of the most positive aspects we had internally in our processes, both using HSC and then also using the public meeting room here that final day of voting in the office. That was really helpful. And Joby was so responsive, and you know, I work with Al, I work with Cal, I've always had a good relationship with facilities, but Joby is just really a great guy.
Yep.
So I was really happy with that. The League of Women Voters, just want to give a shout out to them. They were so supportive of us when we did our satellite voting. And they worked very, very diligently to register as many of those ISU kids as they could. So it's never enough, but it certainly helps. And we processed like 1,900 voters at the union the week we were there. And a lot of that was due to their hard work. So we also had our first post-election audit. That was new legislation that was passed. We did that as part of our, we used a subset of the absentee board. And we did that when we brought them in yesterday to consider provisional ballots. That went very well. That, like I say, is a new process. The Secretary of State randomly chooses the precinct in every county. They chose Ames 2-3, which is up at, we voted in the Dome Church up there behind Walmart, North Ames. It was 810 ballots that they hand counted, and everything came out right, which is what we expect because we do publicly test all our machines before we send them out. But it's nice to know that it worked out, and it's just part of building voter confidence and public awareness of what we do. So that was really helpful. So just a couple of stats for you. We received back, we sent out over 17,000 absentees. 16,506 were ultimately counted. We had a return rate of over 95%, which is excellent.
Way beyond anything we've ever seen before.
And that's the highest number of counted absentees we've had in a midterm election. It's a 20% jump over the number of absentees we had in 2014. So that was great. 161 provisional ballots were cast in this election. Those were considered by the absentee board, and 106 of those were counted and 55 rejected. For the most part, it's because people voted out of precinct, which is the automatic rejection, or failed to provide the needed documents to have their ballot considered. Some interesting things about this election is while it was our highest turnout midterm election that we've seen in Story County since 1982. So in that year, in 1982, we had almost a 65% turnout. This year, we had almost a 62% turnout. Certainly the highest raw number of turnout that we've had for any midterm election. That's simply because we're a bigger county than we were back then. 69,525 registered voters. So, and our absentee percent was actually lower than it was in 2014. I think that had a lot to do with the change in law. We used to have 40 days of absentee voting. That's been boiled down to 29 days. For mail ballots, actually 18 days have been removed from the schedule. So what you saw, which was really interesting to me, we didn't really know what to expect, is that in seven of our precincts, our high turnout precincts in Ames, we actually had more people vote on election day at the polling place than we did 2 years ago, even though we had a lower number of total voters in that precinct. It drove a lot of foot traffic. So makes me a little anxious for 2020 when our numbers are going to go up some more.
Yeah, so I view it the opposite of that because while our percentage-wise, our absentee vote was lower, percentage of the total number of votes we received.
Right.
If you look at what was a typical gubernatorial year election where we were seeing 32 to 35,000 voters, we're up to 43,000 voters in this election. So our absentees were actually much higher. We just also saw a much higher election day turnout than we've seen since absentee voting started.
Right. But those, like, actually, higher, since we had lower turnout for this election, but higher number of people showing up at the polling place. So if you saw stories about lines or heard about that, that's because even though fewer people actually voted in the election than they did 2 years ago, more people actually went to their polling place. You couple that with the removal of straight party voting, you're going to see some lines. Okay. So this, and we really didn't know what to expect with the change in the absentee process. So we're learning as we go.
You saw 7,000 more voters on election day than I thought you were going to see going into election.
And it was not consistent across precincts, right? So
right.
It's always a crapshoot. And that was definitely November 6/2018. Didn't disappoint. In 2020, I think what we can expect are going to be many, many more provisional ballots as the law, the ID laws harden. And this compressed absentee period, it's a higher pressure situation for us here in the office, but it also creates a higher pressure situation at the polling place. So that just means it's more labor intensive, both the 29 days of and 29 days before and the day of election. So,
is there anything limiting us from having more satellite locations during those 29 days? Other than time and money for you and your
people.
Staff?
That is very labor intensive. It's basically you're robbing Peter to pay Paul, because we're doing many more. Our daily absentee numbers were higher. Okay. So, just more temps. We'll probably cover it.
Okay.
Additional training. I think we do a lot of satellite voting. It's never enough. There's never enough opportunities. There's never enough information. There always could be more of everything. We do what we think in a targeted way that helps the most number of people.
Sure.
See, I know on election evening, when we were waiting for Buchanan to come in and making service, especially Buchanan, there were a few people who went out and talked to some of the people still standing in line and got some information, I guess, about kind of what do you think could have helped cut down on the line. And
well, I know exactly what could have helped, which is more people pre-registering to vote.
That's where we had it.
Yeah.
So anyway, so the people who went out to talk, and actually they were doing some interviewing for KHOI. This is why they went out.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And then they came back and they said something just to me about what can we do to help, or what can anyone do to try and get more students pre-registered. And one of the comments that was made to somebody there, of the three that went out with the KHOI team that they brought back to me that I passed on,
mm-hmm.
was that they heard that the university, they felt the university could help and be more robust in encouraging people to go to the pre-registration booths that like both parties had and only women voters had.
Everybody's working. I mean, everybody works with students tirelessly, and I think the league worked its guts out. NextGen was there. We were there for a week. In 2016, we were there for 4 weeks. There's always more you can do, but if you look at the turnout, percentage-wise, 4-1 actually had the lowest percentage turnout of any precinct in Story County, and the lines were long because those people were not pre-registered, which takes 4 to 5 times longer to process. And we do this every election, Morris. It's not a new thing, and people have brought up everything people have suggested to us. We do, and we do as much as we can. I'm not discounting that, but it's not like we're unaware of the situation. The issue is that we're working with a population where once we educate them, once they stand in line for 2 hours, they're never going to do that again, but they're not going to vote in Story County again because they're going to graduate and go somewhere else, and it's chutes and ladder for back to square one. And we do, that's why I spend a week at the Memorial Union. That's why I spent 4 weeks at the Memorial Union and 16 in the presidential year.
But let's just be completely clear. There was no amount of outreach that you or any other group was going to do that was going to get to voters that didn't decide until lunchtime on election day.
Yeah,
that's right, that they were going to vote in this election. It was an unbelievable turnout model driven by a couple of unique on-the-ground circumstances, and I'm thinking of our U.S. congressional race more than any other, that is unlike anything that we've seen and not something that we could prepare for other than just it's all hands on deck.
Well, since Election Day registration has been in effect since 2008, this has been an issue, right? If people know they can wait till Election Day, some people will just choose to wait. And some people, I think, like the romance of standing in line. I mean, that's I don't. Maybe I'm going to open a Soviet-style grocery store just so that people can stand in line. But you know, I do think there is some of that where students, it's very exciting for them to like, hey, we're all going to go together, and we waited in line and we got pizza, and you know, they were done by 11:30, which is nothing for those kids. I was like, you know, ready to go home and go to bed, but
right.
They're just getting started.
Oh yeah, it was.
So
the names on TV.
Yeah, of course.
It was a social event for some in a couple precincts. But the other thing that I'll say is, it seems to me that we did, you and your staff did everything reasonable to be prepared for everything, and we ran into these lines because of not only the same day registration, but also the realities that we didn't know what to expect on the absence of straight party voting and how much longer it ended up taking for people to get all the way through the ballot. And so we had lines two places in some areas. We had lines waiting to get registered and actually get their ballot, and then we had lines waiting for a kiosk to open up in order to be able to go and actually fill in your ballot. Seems to me what we can really take care of is we can make sure we have more kiosks for people to vote at. Hard for me to imagine how we're going to take care of that same-day voter registration.
Well, yeah, just the, you know, the parties and the candidates used to go out and register people. I don't see those efforts the way we used to. They're getting out the vote,
right.
But they don't make that same effort. Or, you know, whenever I talk to the parties or candidates, I'm like, please register people ahead of time. It's the smartest thing you can do. They know where they're going. They get all the information, but it's an uphill battle every election.
Thank you for that.
I don't mean to sound really cynical about it, but
they were not blaming the county or your department. They were saying ISU should do more.
Yeah, well, and you know, the ISU did a lot. They did some very helpful things this cycle to help help students establish residency. Since we don't have a printed directory anymore, and so that was very helpful. So you know, two steps forward, one step back, always.
You had mentioned that the launch of the heart next year and going forward.
January 1st. Yeah.
What changes?
So this year only. This year, starting January 1st, ID was required for registered voters, but they could sign an oath in lieu of showing the identification. The oath goes away starting January 1st. So if you are a registered voter, and I know you're all registered voters, and you go to your polling place and you don't have ID, you will be required to vote a provisional ballot. Or you can go home and get your ID, whatever. So that's, like I say, the number of provisional ballots is going to skyrocket, which if you think election day registration takes a long time, provisional voter probably takes even longer.
But that's back.
No, that's at the polling place.
That's the polling place.
No, that's right there. That's the person standing in front of you in line.
Okay.
So some of that's voter education, but voter education is something that there can never be enough of.
So on the same day registration to vote, they're going to need an ID or they vote even with all the...
Same day registrants haven't changed. They've always needed to prove both identification and residency.
Okay.
So, but a pre-registered voter...
With no ID.
That, you know, you go in your wallet, you know, you left it on the kitchen counter, and you show up at your polling place. And even if all the poll workers know you, went to high school with you, whatever, you'd still be given a provisional ballot. So that's going to be... that's going to be a very interesting,
okay.
And when I say interesting, I think angry phone calls type interesting election.
Okay. Thank you.
My understanding is also that ISU ID is not a valid ID.
IDs have to have an expiration date on them, and ISU IDs do not. So IDs from high schools and colleges are acceptable as long as they have an expiration date. The ID portion is not something that students have an issue with. It's the proof of residency, which the university worked really well with the Secretary of State's office and this office to resolve, and I think that worked very well. So, we do have a resolution has been updated with our write-in winners as well as our summary report. So,
you ready for a motion?
Did you get a copy of this, or did it just I got a copy?
Of the
resolution as well.
Yeah, he did.
Oh, he did? Okay. It came. If I could, just one more thing. So we do have changes coming also next year, not just the hardened ID provisions, but we have a combined school and city election. That's going to be brand new. So we just can't have too many brand new things happening in elections, apparently. That will be next November's election. Should be really interesting. We have up to six ballot styles in some precincts.
Right.
So
there will be no more September elections. So there'll be all Novembers.
Yep. Okay. It's a combined. So that's November 5th, 2019.
But you need to do your vote center for all of us.
Nope. You go to your precinct. Just you go to the same precinct you go to for gubernatorial or presidential election.
Okay.
So always going to the same precinct.
Okay.
Which I think voters will like.
It just means we got staffing.
Right. And making sure you issue the correct ballot.
Alright, so do we need to read Resolution 1942 then, or can we...
No, you can just consider it.
Okay.
Well, I would move approval of Resolution number 1940-42.
I second.
Motion and a second. Chief.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Sanders. Aye. 1942 passes.
I move to declare the canvass complete and to certify the results of the election to the appropriate jurisdiction.
Aye.
Olson.
Aye.
Chief. Sanders. Aye.
I move to adjourn.
Second.
All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned. Thanks, everybody.
There's still stuff to sign.